Hi, this is Susie Larson. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast of Live the Promise. You know, shows like this are made possible because of your continued support of Faith Radio. To learn more, please check out our website at myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in today. Happy Friday to you. Hope you have some fun plans for this weekend. Well, in just a moment, you'll hear my conversation with Lori Short about faith in the darkness. Just a reminder that you can find this whole program up on our website at myfaithradio.com.
Well, I don't want to waste another moment. I want to talk to you about this topic because I know if you've not been there, you are there or you're coming out of there. That's the valley of the shadow when it's hard to remember what God promised us. And it seems like he's so far away. He is with us. And I'm so excited about today's conversation. Lori Short is a speaker, author, and associate pastor of Ocean Hills Covenant Church. She speaks at conferences, colleges, and churches and denominational events around the country. She's a graduate of Fuller Theological Seminary and the author of several youth ministry books. She and her husband Jerry and stepson Jordan are evidence of God's sweet grace in her life. And you can find her on the web at LoriShort.com. Lori, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Susie. It's great to be here.
Well, we love to start out our conversations talking scripture. And I'm wondering, I know you're a woman who loves the word, if either there's a verse that God's been speaking to you about these days, or if you have a verse, a life verse you could share with us.
Well, you know, I think today, as I was praying what to share, I want to share the verse that I wrote for 5 years in a journal when I was walking through a dark time. And that was Isaiah 50:10. Which is, let him or her who walks in the dark, who has no light, trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. And that verse just was something I clung to for many, many years. And I just wanted to offer that verse as we begin today.
Lori, say that verse again, just for that person who needs to hear it one more time, if you would.
Absolutely. Isaiah 50:10. Let him or her who walks in the dark, who has no light, trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God.
You can trust him. So if you have no light, rely on him, even if you can't sense him. Well, Lori, before we get into the content of your great book, and we've got some copies to give away, by the way, so I'm just going to say this at the outset. I'll invite calls, but if you know the number, because you hear it every day, call anytime and chime into the conversation so that you can get a copy in your hands. I already know a few people who need this book that I'm going to get it for. 877-933-2484. So, Lori, give us a little backstory on your faith journey.
Well, I actually became a Christian when I was a senior in high school through a Young Life camp, and that was the seed that was planted that ended up changing my life. I really didn't know at that time what a significant decision I was making, but as I went on to go to UCLA and then eventually started volunteering in youth ministry, and pretty soon doors just continued to open, and what I was doing on the side, which was ministry, ended up becoming my life. And so I've been walking with the Lord for many, many years. And my personal season of darkness really centered around being single and not really feeling the call to singleness, which I know a lot of women walk through this journey. But for me, it was many, many years and many heartbreaks. And so that really is what led me to the story that is in the book and what led me to write this book ultimately.
You got so many great stories. I mean, one after another of people whose lives took a turn they hadn't expected. And some of them just take your breath away. And here's an excerpt from your book. We found something on your tests. We're letting you go. I want a divorce. I can't marry you anymore. These phrases descend on us like unwelcome visitors, and we long to send them away. Instead, they beckon us to follow, and we don't get to choose whether or not we go. There is evidence, however, that we don't go alone, and our response to where we are led can make a difference in how our story unfolds. Hear that last line. Our response to where we are led can make a difference in how our story unfolds. Lori, if you don't mind, give us a little more context of your heartbreak and what happened.
Sure. It's interesting, just as you were sharing, Susie, it is so true about our response. And what's interesting is the verse that I shared at the beginning of the program, the next verse after that talks about, but woe to you who light your own fires and provide your own torches. And Isaiah goes on to say that when we take things in our own hands, it's not that God abandons us, but we further complicate our lives because we don't trust him. And it is so hard when God's on a different timeline than we are, which I find to be pretty much all the time. I don't know about you, but he doesn't do things the way I want him to, hardly ever. And yet when we look back, we can see his perfect plan in our lives. But for me personally, what happened was after several heartbreaking relationships that ended in breakups, I finally got engaged when I was 42 years old. And at that point, I had been speaking across the country, really, training youth workers and speaking to youth. And so many, many people knew that I was single and finally found the person that God had brought and singing the hallelujah chorus. Mm. And so I had my two bridal showers and bought my wedding dress, and then my fiancé got deployed. And we thought about the shotgun wedding, but really just decided that that wouldn't be wise. So once again, I was going, okay, Lord, I can wait these 9 more months. And so he left for 9 months. And in the course of that time, his ex-wife was writing him and apparently having second thoughts about their divorce. And so when he got back, we actually ended up breaking up, and he ended up remarrying his ex-wife, which, of course, is a great story when you're not the girl engaged to the guy. Mm-hmm.
And part of that, too, Lori, when you're talking about how when he was deployed, he was sending you letters, but they became farther and few between. So you were not only away from him, engaged, but then left to wonder, is this thing slipping out of my hands, but not really knowing.
Exactly.
That's exactly traumatizing.
Yes, and it really was. And I think what made it so conflicting, Susie, is that, you know, we all as Christians want marriages to get back together. For heaven's sakes, I mean, that my own parents are divorced, and I know that that is God's heart for people to be reconciled. But it almost felt like, I actually had people say to me, well, isn't it great that God used you to get them back together? And, you know, people say the darndest things.
Yeah, don't they?
And, of course, that's what made it really conflicting in my soul. I just thought, Lord, how did you think that I could possibly be strong enough for this when this is the desire of my heart and I'm already in my 40s? And so for me, it just felt like a tragic end where I felt abandoned by God.
Mm. When you think, I'm thinking at some of these stories towards the beginning of the book, one where a young woman wants to be in ministry. She marries kind of her soulmate who also wants to be in ministry, and they're serving in youth ministry. And all of a sudden, a young woman approaches her and said there was an incident with her, one of the youth group girls, and this woman's husband. And then three more come out. And so he loses his job, and they go through the horrific humiliation, and he goes through therapy. Then the church calls, a different church, a different state, says, we know what you've been through. We're willing to give him a second chance under very strict, you know, accountability. And she thinks, oh, okay, my next step, my new chance is coming. And over time, you know, she's settling. And then she finds out she's pregnant, and he comes home with that blank look on his face. Well, it happened again. I mean, you know, you read those kinds of stories, people who are sincere followers of Christ, and it just takes your breath away, doesn't it?
Yes. Yes, and we do hear these stories. These are not uncommon stories, and because we're a fallen people.
Yeah.
And just the way that the Lord took her through this time where she became a single mom for many, many years, and what God did through all of that, and then, of course, worked in her journey, that her story was not over. And that is a huge message in the book, Susie, that God takes us through these valleys. But when you're in the valley, you have to cling to know that your story is not over. You don't know what God's going to do, but he's not going to leave you there at that point. He's going to do something. And we don't ever know what God has in mind, and it might not be what you have in mind, but he has a plan, and as long as you got up this morning and you're still breathing, God is not finished with your story.
Mm, indeed, and you reference this, and I've seen this as well. In fact, I have a niece who's got just struggled for years with infertility issues, failed adoptions. She had one baby that she had in her home for 15 months, and then there was a change of heart, and she had to release, I mean, the heartbreak after heartbreak. And she says, everywhere I turn, I hear people go, ah, I'm pregnant again. And isn't it always the way it is? The very thing that you want, you're surrounded by it because everybody else says it. And you said, you said this too. You said, when we find ourselves in a place we'd rather not be, we become interested in other people's stories. And we can even get in that rut of comparison. So what word of encouragement do you have for that person who's like, everywhere I turn, I see people who have what I so desperately want?
Absolutely. I don't know. I think that just happens to us. And I reference the story of when Peter is told by the resurrected Christ in John 21, where Jesus comes back and reinstates him. He asks him three times, do you love me? To just kind of give Peter that redo, because Peter had denied him three times. Now three times he has a chance to affirm his love. And then right away Jesus says, Peter, when you were younger, you went where you wanted. But when you're older, somebody else is going to take you where you do not want to go. And I never noticed that verse until I went where I didn't want to go, and realized that there are times when God allows those parts of our journey. And we know that because there's suffering in the world. But what's interesting about that passage is that really quickly after that, John walks by and Peter says, well, Lord, what about him? And I think that we do that in our lives. As soon as we're going through difficult times, why is it that all these people seem to have everything together, everything we want, they're experiencing? And we want to say, Lord, why me? Why not her? Why not him? And when Peter says that, Jesus looks at him and says, Peter, if I want him to remain alive till I come back, what is that to you? You must follow me. And I really hear in those words, Peter, you need to live the story that I have written for you. Don't worry about other people's stories. I'm going to work in your story because I have a specific plan for your life. And I want you to focus on that and living the seasons of your life and being who you are. And so I think when we go through those seasons, we have to recognize that sometimes we're comparing what we know of ourselves to what we don't know about somebody else. And their life may look like they have everything together in an area that we so desperately want. But inevitably, every one of us faces pain at some level or another in our lives. It's just part of the journey.
We're comparing what we know of ourselves to what we don't know of others. That's so good. We're talking with Lori Short today about her book, Finding Faith in the Dark. More in just a minute. Lori Short today, and I'm telling you, this is an excellent book. And so if you're in a place where your story took a turn you didn't want it to take, and you're right there right now, I'm telling you, this book will be an encouragement to you. Call in and tell us about it. Let us stand with you, pray with you, encourage you. One thing Lori says is when we give up on our story before God has finished writing it, we miss out on what our story has to give us. And sadder still, we miss out on what our story can become. So after the breakup of your engagement, Lori, you got involved in a young woman's life, and I feel, you know, wow, God used you to change her story. So talk about this young gal that you helped.
Yes, well, because I felt so much the call to be a wife and a mom, and it just obviously was not happening biologically, it was almost as if God tapped me on the shoulder and said, you know what? There are other people walking through seasons of pain. And by the way, if that's you and you are walking through that season, one of the most healing things you can do is to get involved with other people who are also walking through seasons of pain, because it's an amazing thing that God uses that to heal us. But he can actually use us right in the midst of brokenness. And so I had a history of youth ministry, and at the time I had stopped being a youth pastor at the church I was working at. I was doing more speaking and writing, and so I decided that I was going to volunteer in the inner city. I had been there several times with youth groups, and I thought, I'm going to go there once a week and just work with these kids on Skid Row. And in particular, God just brought this one girl to my attention. She was 11 years old at the time, And as I got to hear more about her story, I could tell she was neglected just by the way she dressed and her hygiene and so forth. But she was this beautiful girl, so smart, and found out that her dad had raised about 20 different kids, all with different women. She had only met her mom a couple of times. She was on the streets. She lived in a Skid Row hotel room, which if you've been done any inner city ministry, you know, it's a horrific place for children, and yet so many do get raised there. And God just began to move in me to spend some time with this girl. And you know, of course, I argued with the Holy Spirit for a while, like we all do. What do I have for her? But it was just like God said, just love her. So coming alongside her in her journey and helping her get through junior high and high school, she actually ended up getting pregnant in high school, which is a very common thing for inner city girls. But what was uncommon about it is most of her friends had their babies at 14 and 15 years old, and that's why we have so many of the issues in the inner city, is they just perpetuate the problem. But she had seen life outside of Skid Row and wanted something different for her child. So she had decided to give her child up for adoption. We poured through books. She picked a couple. And then lo and behold, her little boy was born 3 weeks early. And unfortunately, the couple who had been designated decided they wanted a girl. So I knew that the child was either going to be taken to foster care or she was going to take the child back. So I just prayed and prayed, and through a series of miraculous events, found out about this couple through a good friend of mine who had not been able to have a child for 6 years. They had been praying. They were teachers at a Christian school. And so I ended up just feeling led to call them and said, would you be open to meeting her? And of course they said yes. So I brought this little girl down and her baby, and literally within a matter of weeks, lawyers got called, and because my little girl just decided that she wanted this couple to be the parents of her child. Well, that child is now 10 years old, and he's literally thriving.
Oh,
he's the firstborn of three kids that they have now adopted, all miracle stories. And again, just to see that if I hadn't lifted my eyes and gotten involved in something else, none of this would have happened. And so to think that God can use us, even in the midst of these broken seasons where there's something that we want so desperately, he may be saying, look, I know I'm not answering this prayer, but I have something else in mind for you. If you would just widen your vision, there are other things that I have for you that I would love to use you for.
Love it. Love it. This is what Lori says in her book. Sometimes God withholds what we want so he can give others what they need. And we are better for it. Our lives become bigger than just us. Talking to Lori Short again, her book is Finding Faith in the Dark, When the Story of Your Life Takes a Turn You Didn't Plan. 877-933-2484. Debbie, we're taking you next. Lisa, we're going to go with Lisa calling in from Madison. Lisa, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you. I so appreciate this conversation, and I apologize if I get choked up with my question. I'm going to go back to when you guys were talking about how we need to be willing to be led where God wants us to go. And I have a question. I'm very much in a place where I didn't expect to be and where God is taking me. But in the moment where your emotions are ruling you, how do you know that God's not punishing you and that he's not angry?
Stay with us, Lisa. Go ahead, Lori.
Well, Lisa, thank you so much for calling. It's so tender to hear your voice. And I can't tell you how many times I've been in that place where tears were just right behind everything I said. And I just want you to know that, you know, I think there are times in life where we know we've made a decision that has led to some things in our lives that may be consequences of that decision. But there are times in our lives where it really doesn't have to do with any decision we've made. And it feels like I was talking about, it feels like God's being mean and we don't understand. And we have to almost tell ourselves at that point, pour scripture and into ourselves. We need friends that can speak it into our lives, that we have a God who is so crazy about us. He loves us so much. Even if we have blown it, he loves us so much. He is always out for our best. And so if we're walking a season that just feels so painful, the story isn't over. and there is something happening right now. What was so amazing to me is that as I look back on the myriad of breakups and then my broken engagement, is that God was actually healing in me something that was a seed of abandonment that I felt, because my parents had gotten divorced, my dad had married someone who was only 3 years older than me, and I didn't realize what that had left in me, but I was looking for someone to complete something in me when I was looking for marriage. I wasn't looking for a partner. I was looking for someone kind of like the Jerry Maguire to complete me. Hmm. And it was only through breakups and allowing me to stand alone that God was actually healing me, which is so mysterious to say. But I don't know what he's doing in your life, but I can assure you, Lisa, that he is so near to you, even if you don't feel him, and that he is doing something, and you will be able to look back on this time and see it so much clearer than you do right now.
Lisa, bless you, hon. And you're going to get a copy of Lori's book, and I know it'll minister deeply to you. Debbie's been so sweetly on hold calling in from Winnipeg so patiently. Debbie, thank you for calling in.
Oh, thank you for this wonderful show. You guys, I'm going to choke up. You guys minister to me every day. I'm a home care nurse, so I work out of my car, and I'm in the car from about 7:45 in the morning until 4:30, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and your radio station is on all day long and blesses me dramatically. But my life has been full of disappointments. I'm a product of an abusive father. My mom and dad were together for many years, and then my life took a turn. I met a wonderful guy. We were married for 26 years. We got divorced only after he had a couple suicide attempts, and in the event of all of that, came out and said he was gay. We're good friends today, thank the Lord for that. We're both born-again Christians. But God has used all of that. And in the mix of all that, I have three kids, two boys and a girl. Pardon me. And my oldest son is still struggling with a lot of things. He's had two children. His son is 17 today. Anyway, and I know God is not the author of confusion. And when there's faith, God will hear my cries. But what I'm trying to say is that I don't understand why God has allowed all of these things in my life except to make me stronger. But the pain sometimes is so hard to witness. Even in my ex-husband's life, we're good friends. And he knows I'm praying for him. And he knows that I'm in his life as his friend. And the same with my sons and my daughter. But life does take a turn sometimes, and you don't understand why people make the choices they do that cause so much pain and anguish, not only for themselves, but for the people around them that love them so much.
I'm so sorry. We have a hard break. I don't want you to go away because it's only a two-minute break. Okay. So sorry to jump in. We want to pray with you, and I know Lori will have something encouraging to say. God is with you, dear friend. He's with you, and the story's not over yet. This is Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. Debbie, you hang on. Lori will talk with you, and we'll pray with you in just a moment. We'll be right back.
Lay down your shame. Oh, I'm broken. Lift up your face.
Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Lori Short about her fabulous book, Finding Faith in the Dark, When the Story of Your Life Takes a Turn You Didn't Plan. And Debbie, are you still with us?
I sure am.
Bless you for hanging in there. So before the break, Debbie called in and just her life has taken several turns she didn't plan. And Lori, wondering if you just have a word of encouragement for Debbie today.
Yes. Well, Debbie, you know, I just, first of all, want to commend you. I just feel like the Lord is saying, well done, good and faithful servant, because the fact that you have responded the way you have to your life story is just heroic, nothing short of it.
And I don't know.
Well, you know what? It's okay to be sad, because God knows what you have had to go through, and I can't even tell you how many times I fell out of bed and onto the floor. And so your tears are completely understandable, and there will be times where you'll cry. But just the fact that you are choosing to respond the way you are, both to your ex-husband and his choices and your children and the love that you're showing all of them, you just keep walking that way. Mm-hmm. And I promise you, God is not finished with your story. And I don't know what he's going to do, but I really feel that he is just going to walk you through this. And keep your eyes open, Debbie, because sometimes he shows up in ways that we're not looking for, we're not anticipating. True. And so I would just want to encourage you that even to widen your gaze to other places, other people, other things that he might be showing you during this season to help you find perspective in the midst of your story and in your family.
And Debbie, you're going to get a copy of Lori's book, and you'll be amazed as you read these different stories that sort of take your breath away, and then she winds them back, and you start to see how God was still writing this story, and you cheer, and it gives you hope. And so, Lori, I'm wondering if you would pray for Debbie before we hang up.
I would love to. So, Lord, I just commit to you this sweet daughter of yours, Debbie, who you love so much, and you love every person in this story. And there have been several turns that she has watched other people in her life take that have affected her life deeply. And I pray that you would just assure her of your love, of the fact that you have not let go of her, that you still have a plan for her story, that it's never too late and never too dark for you to enter in with something we cannot even imagine. And so that's my prayer for Debbie, something that we cannot even imagine. And I pray that you speak to her through this book and through the stories of others who have walked through dark times to breathe hope into her life, and that you would show up in ways that she, again, maybe isn't even looking for, but that she would know it's you. And I know that you can do that, Lord, because you are so personal to each one of us. So I pray that you be that to Debbie today and also in the life of her ex-husband and her children as well. God, do a miracle. You are a miraculous God. And so I know what you're capable of. And so we just commit the situation into your amazing hands in Jesus' name.
Debbie, God bless you, hon. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you so much for your ministry and for Lori for your book. I'm blessed. I'll be blessed to read it, I'm sure.
You definitely will.
Thank you, Debbie.
In fact, we really want to open the phones and just really, since we're striking a nerve and hitting a chord here, if your life has taken a turn that you didn't anticipate and it's taken the breath right out of you, let us stand with you. We would love to pray with you, encourage you best we can. I'm pretty sure we'll get more copies from our publisher. We know a few people. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Here's another thought from your book that I adore. You wrote, C.S. Lewis reflects in an essay on prayer that perhaps the strongest and bravest are not the ones who name it and claim it, but the ones who are willing to give up their claim, even if it's just for a time, to participate in a greater battle. Such a powerful insight. Lori, say more about that.
Well, again, you know, sometimes it takes these choices that we didn't make to lead us to this place. And really, it's in retrospect that we look back and think, my goodness, my life became so much bigger because of a prayer that wasn't answered. And that certainly was true for me. As something that I wanted so much was not happening, I just felt the nudge from the Holy Spirit to say, you know what, I still have a plan for your life. It's not going the way you thought it would or in the time that you thought it would, but I still have things for you to do right now. Look around you. I think that was really the journey of Job. It was interesting in that book is, you know, we find out that Job goes through what he does not because he had sinned, but in fact, he was the one that God was bragging over. He was the best in everything he was doing, and yet he was the one brought into this place with Satan where he endured so much suffering. And you know, at the end of the book, God never answers Job's question as to why he suffered. He cries, he wails, he complains, but he never lets go of God. And God puts his arm around Job and takes him on a world tour. And I've always felt that what God was doing is, Job, you know what, I'm not going to answer that question, but I just want to show you how big I am.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting is when he comes back from that, he ends up repenting. because I think his perspective is blown away by how big God is. And when we realize that God is not just at work in our story, he's at work in every single story of every person on this planet, and he wants to use us in the lives of other people, which is such a privilege when we get to be in that place. We all know what that feels like, and God longs for that in our lives. And so if we can just pause when we're not getting what we want and maybe say, God, what is it you want from my life right now? He can use us in miraculous ways.
So good. Jennifer's calling in from Madison, 877-933-2484. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi. I'm still kind of like that. You know, I know that God didn't create us to be by ourselves, and I'm a single parent, and I've never thought that I would be, and I'm always seen as this loving person, and I have so much love to give out, and I pray to God to send me my Adam. Mm-hmm. And it's just like he's not coming, and I don't understand why.
I'm so sorry, Jennifer.
Oh, that heartbreak, I know it so well, and I'm with you in it, and I can't tell you how many months and years I prayed that same prayer. And I want you to know, Jennifer, that he wants not only to meet that place in you, but he has other things, other people that are going to love you right now. And again, like I was saying, to widen your gaze as to how God's love is coming to you right now. I really want to encourage you to do that and to not give up that prayer. Because you know what? God doesn't have the same timeline we have. For me, it wasn't until I was 49 years old that I got married for the very first time. And I know a woman who just got married at 65. So we might have a certain timeline where we think the prayer should be answered, but God hears us, and he is still at work in our story, and he may have other things in mind. I don't know what he's going to do, but again, I would just encourage you, hold on to him. You keep praying that prayer, and then look around for the ways that God is loving you right now.
Jennifer, I keep thinking, too, that, you know, he's near to the brokenhearted. He is so near you, Father to the fatherless. And I do believe he's put a desire in your heart. But just looking at I wrote a note down of what Lori just said. My life became so much bigger because of a prayer that wasn't answered. I just challenge you to get with God and start to count the blessings and the benefits of this battle. Because I can almost guarantee, even though I can hear it in your broken heart, I can hear a strength in you. That you are someone who's still standing. You are someone that knows God and loves him. And I bet you if you stop and look, you'll see that you have an increased territory in you. God has occupied more space in your life. And I just believe he's getting you ready for what he has for you. And we're going to get you a copy of this book somehow, some way, hon. And I just want to say thank you for calling. God bless you, dear. Monique is calling in from St. Paul. Monique, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi. First of all, Susie, I'm trying not to cry as I talk to you guys. Thank you both ladies for ministering to these people who call. Susie, even last night you had a gentleman on. I was taking notes. That's how much I love your program. It has ministered to me through many, many things. I'll make this quick. You've got other calls through sexual abuse, through divorce, physical abuse by my ex-husband, and the sexual abusers to now, and as a matter of fact, as we talk, I'm waiting to hear because they say they're checking in, may have bone marrow cancer. They did an MRI.
Oh,
and I'm thinking, you know, and I've been just latching on just like a little pit bull into the Word of God and just trying, but sometimes, ladies, I just don't feel it.
Sometimes it's just so hard, Monique, when it all feels like it's crashing in. And wondering, Lori, if you want to just speak some encouragement to our dear sister.
Monique, well, first of all, I want you to know that your tears are precious to God, and it's okay for you to be crying, and it's okay for you to be scared. What you are facing right now, it's perfectly natural for you to feel that way, and I don't want you to beat yourself up about that. You're in a period of waiting. And you are just going to need to wait for the Lord and wait for what the answer will be. And you don't know what that is at this point. And so I just want to encourage you to lean in on God right now. He has your story in the palm of his hand. And he has all your days numbered, and he has your life, and he loves you. And it, and believing anything other than that is not truth. Mm-hmm. He loves you. And sometimes it doesn't feel like God loves us because of the circumstances. But see, God is not aligned with our circumstances. He's aligned with us against our circumstances. There is pain and suffering in the world. And you know what? One day all of us are going to die. It's just a matter of timing, because we're going somewhere that is for eternity. And this world is not the end of our story. But we don't know that this is the end of your story. We don't even know what the answer is. And you're in a period of waiting right now. And this is one of those times in life where you just have to cling to him. And so that's our prayer for you, Monique, that you would just cling to him. You don't have to just rely on yourself, but you have a God you can depend on right now. And so I just am going to pray that he feels near and dear. In fact, let me just pray for you right now. Lord, we just pray for this dear sister, Monique. And first of all, it would be our prayer, Lord, that she would get that call and it would not be cancer.
Yes, Lord.
God, we just pray that with all of our heart. And but whatever you have planned for her, Lord, my deepest prayer is that she would sense your love and your peace in a way that she has never sensed it before, that she would know she's not alone in this, that you are right there with her. You are Emmanuel, God with us, not God with our circumstances, God with us. And you showed us that in Jesus. I mean, my goodness, it looked like Jesus was so far from you in the suffering he endured, but he was so near and dear to you all that time. So God, no matter what we go through, we know that you love us. And I pray that Monique knows that. You love her, and you have her story right there in the palm of your hand. And I just pray that you continue to write that story, Lord, and that she trusts you with all of her heart in the dark right now. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen. And Father, I just want to chime in. I want to just pray in the name of Jesus Christ that every system in Monique's body would work to support life and health. And as Lori's praying, I'm thinking of Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord and forget not his benefits. He forgives all of Monique's sins. He heals all of Monique's diseases. He ransoms her life from the pit, crowns her with love and compassion, satisfies her desires with good things, and renews her youth like the eagles. And I just pray, Lord, that you would restore many of the things that the enemy has stolen from her, and that she would see your goodness even in the land of the living. I pray for just a miraculous turnaround in Monique's life in a way that boggles her mind, that can only be you, God. We thank you that you are good. We don't have to convince you to be good. You're good, and you're with Monique, and you adore her. And I just thank you that she's going to see you clearer in the days ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're talking with Lori Short about how God ministers to us in the dark. More with her in just a moment. Welcome back. We're talking with Lori Short about faith in the dark places of life. Lori, I can see the calls coming in right now. So while we're waiting, you talk about the Truman Show, and you draw a metaphor to Satan's attacks on our lives. Unpack that, if you would.
Oh, well, you know, it's a movie that came out about 10 years ago, and it was sort of the first show that kind of introduced reality television. It's about this man, if you haven't seen the movie, Jim Carrey plays the man who lives his entire life on a TV set, and everybody else knows it except for him. And so he begins to get clues that something is wrong. And the first clue that happens is a stage light that drops out of nowhere from the sky. And as he begins to get more and more clues that there's something more going on than just what he sees around him, and then, of course, his quest becomes, as the director tries to keep him confined to the set and keep him confined to the reality of what he sees around him, he knows there's something more. And so the audience begins to root for him to get beyond the set. And I just see that as such an analogy of us in this world. As we look around and we see what we think is all there is, but there is a whole nother reality going on around us in the heavens. and we get clues and glimpses of that reality. But really, it's about whether we choose to respond to those clues and glimpses, and God gives us that choice.
Hmm. This is what you write about that. The director of the Truman Show, like Satan in Job's story, is invested in confining Truman to his limited perspective. Thus, he creates obstacles to keep Truman from breaking through to the other side. The closer Truman gets to his freedom, the harder the journey becomes. And that is so the case with us. It seems these battles come, and if we forget who God is, all we see is the battle, and then we make it very personal. Why is God letting this happen to me? But they measure through his fingers. And it's like, if we can trust that he's good, that he's for us, we can get a little bit of grit in our soul to say, I'm that much closer to my freedom. And God wants to take up that much more territory in our lives. Don't you feel like that's true when you start to go, if I don't let his goodness be up for grabs and I trust that he's for me, I will make it through this thing.
That's right. And when you do make it through, Susie, when you get to the other side, your faith is just that much bigger because you can't believe what God has done and what he's shown you. And he can only do that if he takes us through these difficult times. Mm. So
love that. And you say that God sends us clues, like in the Truman Show, that there is more going on than we can see. And you reference the amazing Frederick Buechner quote. It says, without somehow destroying me in the process, how could God reveal himself in a way that would leave no room for doubt? If there were no room for doubt, there'd be no room for me. And then you write, God makes room for our faith, and in doing so, he makes room for our doubts. And so I just know that there's so many listening today who've maybe even settled into a low level of misery. In other words, they've lost their expectancy. And to me, Lori, nothing seems more important in those dark places is to recapture your sense of expectancy. But speak to that a little bit.
Well, first of all, in terms of just the free will that we do have, and that God chose to make us with a free will to choose, which of course makes room for doubt. It means that we get to choose not to believe, which so many people around us choose. And I talk about in that chapter how for some reason for me, there were just enough clues that made me always think there was something more, there was a God. And that of course led me to my journey to Jesus, who for me, I saw so much suffering in the world that a God who came to suffer and die was the only kind of God that made sense to me. Mm. And embracing that God and then seeing life through that lens, it became so clear to me that it was truth. But there are many, many people that I think either they have a little bit of faith, and when something goes wrong and God now is not the Santa Claus God they hoped he would be, and he's not doing what they wanted him to do, and so they may abandon him. Or they just adopt a lukewarm faith. Like, I'll just, you know, I'll go to church at Christmas and Easter and you know, sort of nod to God, but he's not going to have anything to do with my life. He's a benign creep, you know, benign person in my life. Or we let it lead us to a deeper faith where we discover things about God that, honestly, had I not gone through what I went through, I wouldn't know God the way I do now. And so there's a mystery to that. But we see that all through Scripture. We really do, with people who walked with God, who wrestled with God, who had that in their lives, and they grew in their faith because of it.
So good. Carolyn's been on hold for a few minutes. Sorry that you had to wait, Carolyn. Thanks for calling in.
Good afternoon, ladies. I'm calling with an affirmation. I just want to say thank you for sharing what you're sharing, and I look forward to reading your book, and I'll purchase my own book. But what I'm calling for is I have been through many of those valleys, and the one thing I wanted to share is that oftentimes what I've learned is that it's not always about me, and sometimes what I'm experiencing is a result of what somebody else needs to learn, and it's their lesson. But to know that nothing can separate us from the love of God, neither height nor depth nor nothing can separate us from God's love. And to even know that even when we're in the valley, God's in the valley.
Mm.
So
well, Carolyn,
thank you so much for what you've shared.
Mm. Mm. Thank you, Carolyn. Thank you
for blessing us with your insight.
Yes.
That is so
indeed true.
Well,
I can't help myself. I have to read another quote from your book. And you wrote, Henry Nouwen sheds some light when he says that every turn we must open our hearts to the voice of God. This is a voice that whispers to us in the dark, I have a gift for you, and I can't wait for you to see it. When we listen for that voice, Nouwen reflects, every choice becomes an opportunity to discover the new life hidden in every moment, waiting to be born. and we touched on that, but I just want you to say maybe how a person maybe cultivates a heart of expectancy in the midst of those dark valleys when they can't see the light anymore. How do they lift their chin enough to say, even here, Lord Jesus, you will break through?
Mm. That is so hard to do when you're in the midst of disappointment. And I can tell you, there were days that I couldn't do it, that I actually would say to friends or family, you need to hold my faith for me today. You just need to speak words of hope into me today, because today I feel just overwhelmed with disappointment. And that's why it's so important to have good friends around you. But I think that heart of expectancy, what we realize about God is that he is the God of the present tense. We learn that in Exodus, that God introduces himself as I am. It almost looks like the wrong tense in Exodus 3 when Moses is supposed to go back and say, I am sent me. And yet you realize that God really is always in the now. And so even when we're living in the future and thinking, what is he going to do, or what has he done in the past, then we're there without him because he is always in the now and he has something for us right here and right now. Even if you're walking through a season that you would not pick in your life, he has something for you in it. Just like what Carolyn just said, that maybe you're walking through the season because of somebody around you who needs you there at that time, and it's an opportunity. Or maybe something's happening to you that God's going to use later in life in ways you can't even imagine. But I just have always noticed that we really do have a rearview mirror God, that we really don't see what all that he's doing until we look back and go, oh, that's what God was doing all that time.
Mm. And, you know, he wants to encourage us in the valley. He doesn't want us to lose faith. He wants us to keep faith. And I know for me, every time I've been through in those dark, deep places and I've asked, Lord, give me glimpses of glory. Give me tokens of my faith. Just give me something. Help me out here. And I look. I see it. He'll show me. He'll just open the sky for a brief moment to say, you're on the right track. And that's all I tend to need. But I really find that there's times where it feels like it takes too long, you know, if I could be honest. But truly, though, I can tell that he wants to give us wisdom, as he promised. He will give us wisdom when we ask for it. And, well, as I said, I just scratched the surface, Lori, on my notes for today's show. So we got to get you back for next month and walk through this again. And, really would love for you to pray for Monique and others like her who maybe are just left breathless today and need a fresh dose of faith.
Lord, we thank you for the callers who have had the courage to call in and share their stories and the tears that they've allowed us to partake in, which is really our joy as the body, that we are together. And I pray for any listeners who may have tears in their heart, in their eyes right now as they are trying to make it through their journey, don't even know how they feel about you. They're just feeling so alone. God, would you just show up in their lives in ways they can't imagine? I pray that you've given them something today that has given them hope, that you speak your words of truth into their lives, that especially Isaiah 50:10, let him or her who walks in the dark, who has no light, trust. And sometimes, Lord, we are called to do that for so long, so much longer than we think we can. But God, when things come together, when we see what you are up to, when we see the way you use us, then we understand. And so I just pray that courage and that hope into people's lives today. Mm-hmm. Anybody who needs it, Lord, and your love, most of all, your love. And we know that in the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Thanks so much, Lori. That was author Lori Short talking about her book, Finding Faith in the Dark. Hope that encouraged you today. Well, in just a moment, we'll be joined by Greg and Julie Gorman talking about what to know before you get married. Stay tuned.